when you dwell with the Father, your actions will show it. That's what John said. He wasn't talking about salvation. He says, you cannot say that you dwell with the Father and walk in darkness, and you cannot say you dwell with the Father and walk in hatred towards your brother. You can't do that. Now, you can be born again, because there's a lot of people born again and still have a lot of issues, but you can't dwell with the Father and still have those issues, because he is going to overcome them for you. Is that good news or what? So the best thing you got to do is get busy getting in to the Father. Amen. I'm going to set a little vision for you. Amen. Where the Father's going with all this. You want to know where the Father's going with all this? Salvation, reconciliation, and restoration. There's three predominant phases, the way I see it now, the way God set this up. And all in between, he's going to use you. All in between, he's going to help you. All in between. But he has a goal. God has a purpose. Amen. And I believe this generation is going to fulfill that purpose. There's such glory and faith that comes alive when you're with the Father. You just can't fail. I'm telling you. Not that I want the enemy to throw anything else at me. It doesn't matter what he throws. It can be turned in the Father. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about stuff that can take you out for years and decommission you for years. You just get recommissioned in the love of the Father. And that's victory, my friends. I say, that is victory. Glory to God. That is victory. I don't want you just to hear me. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear these words, because they're powerful, what the Lord given us. But the enemy is going to come after these words. I'm going to tell you, don't even think the warfare in your life is natural. But neither is the love of the Father. It's not natural either. And what I'm finding out, I just disassociate myself with the warfare, because I know what it's about. It's trying to take what I got. It seems really big, but that's just the way the enemy is. Well, I have found that most people, they get removed from this kind of a walk. They don't remove themselves. Somebody else comes and helps them. It'll help them remove themselves from this kind of operation. And sometimes they'll carry things. You got to know that. You got to know that these words are going to take us where we need to be. Amen. Watch who you hang out with. Watch everybody that comes in that's smiling is not there to do you good. Amen. Okay, go to Genesis. Okay, here's how God started, right? He made man. Now, that's what he said. He let us make man in our image. And, say and, after our likeness. And then let them have dominion. God made us in his image. He made us a spirit being. We have a soul, and he clothed us in a body, but all of that was clothed in him. Amen. That was the image. And then after our likeness, man was clothed in the love of the Father. The Old Testament, God kind of had to step out of his nature to deal with creation, but he got back into his nature in the New Testament, back into the love of the Father. Amen. Now, when he said, make man in our image after our likeness, and then man would have the dominion, it worked just like that. You didn't get to have dominion without the image, without the likeness. Amen. Immediately, I want to look at the fall for a minute, what happened at the fall, because it's real important to understand. I'm going to pick up in verse 5 in Genesis 3. So man walked with the cool day. He was walking in dominion. He walked in perfect harmony with God. He walked in dominion with God, had dominion over the, everything was cozy. Amen. Everything was wonderful and glorious until chapter 3. Now, when the enemy shows up, notice what he says, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He's always going to do this. Hath God said? Look at verse 5. And God doth know that in the day thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you, what? Shall be as God, knowing good and evil. He knows that he told you not to eat from the tree, but hath God really said don't eat from it? Because he knows if you eat, you're going to be like him. And notice what happened. God said don't eat from it. And the woman saw with her eyes the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired. He put desire on that tree. He's still doing it today. He'll put your desire on his system, see. He's going to put your eyes on his system. He's going to put desire. Your desires, care, I don't care how high you are. The enemy going to set that desire on you. He's going to put that desire for his system, and you're going to have something to keep you from responding. Otherwise, you're going to go eat from it. See, he's still got a tree out there. He's still promising you a lot. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It still promises, but it promises you a lot. But when you start eating from it, it fails to deliver. But God promises you a tree too. When you eat from his tree, it will deliver all the time. Amen. What I'm finding, there's such power and life in God's tree. If you'll eat enough from the Father and drink enough from the Father, he'll start overriding those other desires. Don't even think that God called you to be perfect in yourself. That's what's wrong with everybody, is they hear these messages like walk in love and do all this, and they're dysfunctional. They're trying to walk in love with a dysfunctional foundation, and they can't do it, and they fail. Then they get condemnation. The enemy heaps condemnation, and you keep trying to do more stuff that you can't do, because the gospel was never designed for you to love until the Father loved you first. And so you get love to the Father. That's what I found out. I mean, I could have kept going another 18 years in ministry, but I'd have kept doing the same thing I was doing, because I didn't have the capacity to love the way God wanted me to love. And every time it tested, it would fail because I didn't have it. But this time it got tested, and I won. And I keep winning. I'm like, ooh, I won that battle, and I won that one. That doesn't mean that the situation was perfect, but inside I won. Because I have nothing but love and gratitude, happiness and joy. And that's not a faith statement. That's just real. I got honey up inside of me. I'm not bitter. And I could have a lot of things to be bitter about, but I'm just a happy person now. And I got joy up in me because when the Father loves me. But I can't have that if the Father don't love me. I'm just telling you right now. If I don't get up into the Father, I can't have that. But when I get up in there with him, I can be like him. Amen. I can love like him. Glory to God. They ate from the tree. Now notice what happened here. Verse 7, first thing happened, the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And man's been doing that ever since. Because as soon as the nakedness, the glory departed from man at the entrance of sin, God was their covering. They were clothed in Father God. They were clothed in the glory. They didn't even know they were naked because the glory of God was on them. And as soon as that sin came in, they saw and they began to try to cover and hide. Say cover and hide, cover and hide. Because rejection set in. Because separation set in. And when separation comes in, rejection shows up. And the next thing was fear. Fear and rejection. See, all of a sudden I got to hide because I'm not accepted like I was. God still accepted them and loved them, but they couldn't feel it anymore because sin separated and it brought rejection. And they felt rejected. That's why you hide. Because if I am who I am, you may not like me. That whole system came in like that. See? When that system came in, man started trying to find his own covering, see? You were designed to be covered. I don't even care. If you are fatherless, you're still designed to be covered. You're designed to be covered by God, and you're designed to be covered by authority. It's just not the wrong kind of authority, but you're designed by God to be that way. And when you're in the proper covering, the proper alignment, you'll flourish. Amen? Well, when you're not, you're going to be looking about all the time because you're not covered properly. Amen? Now, what happened? Separation came in. The fall, the system started. Here's a big one right here. The whole world's built on this one right here. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, verse 8. In the garden in the cool day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Oh, there they go. They're hiding in, they covered themselves, and now they're hiding from God. Hiding from each other and hiding from God. Everything's about hiding. They hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God. And the Lord God called, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And so the final Adam shows up, the last Adam. He said, Father, where I am, I'm back with you now. And there shall all of you be also. I bring them all back to you, Father. Because right there, man was separated. The Father says, where are you? He knew where they were, but they didn't know where they were. You know how long it took them to get back to the Father? 4,000 years. That's a lot of years. That separation took God, covenant of Abraham, God working with Israel and getting the Messiah in so that Messiah could be born and set in salvation, to reclothe man in his image, to reconstruct a new man that could go back to the Father and to say, where I am, Father, where you are, there I am also, took 4,000 years. Jesus could not release those words for 4,000 years. Man was separated. Listen, man was separation. We have an altar to eat of that they that serve the earthly tabernacle have no rights to. Hebrews said that. Man was in covenant with God under the Old Testament so God could reinstate sonship. And when God reinstated sonship, you are now sons and daughters of the Father God. Where I am, there shall you be also. Adam, where are you? He says, we were afraid. He says, I was afraid, God. Say afraid. I hid myself from you. I've been covering ever since. It took man, when that darkness set in, and that rejection, and that separation, and that fear set in, it set up the whole system of this world. Every fear known to man, fear that you know and you don't know. Fear of man, fear of God, not the good stuff, the other stuff. The fear of God. Fear of man. Every level, fear of rejection, fear of betrayal. All the fears we deal with, the create doubt on me, all that was set from that fall right there. Stuff you know you got, stuff you don't know you got, stuff that's embedded up in your foundation. Fear of failure that locks you down, that keeps you from moving forward. Fear of loss, fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of disease. Fear of rejection, just call them out. All the systems of the world were built from that fall right there. Stuff you were born with. You don't even know is there. Well, that stuff is what keeps us. It came out of the separation. Rejection, fear came out of that separation. And that's all of that began to separate man. And when the Lord Jesus came back in, the first thing he did is reinstated your image. He gave you a new creation. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You will never make it to the Father thinking like that. If you think you're a sinner saved by grace, you were a sinner saved by grace. But you're not a sinner anymore. Just walking by the grace of God, I'm going to make it heaven. I'm just a sinner. All of sin and falling short of the glory of God. We definitely need to do the born again trail soon. Just all short and falling short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Not one. Listen, how do you think your nature could inherit the Father if that's your state? It was your state, but he took your spirit man and recreated in the image of Christ. He took the law of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit recreated your spirit man into the image of God and gave you a new man. Say, I'm a new creation. I might still be clothed in a body that's definitely not saved yet. Don't you wish our soul would have got saved when our spirit did? It'd be nice if my soul could have just got saved right there. Well, your soul's not saved. You're going to go to hell, you sinner. I'm talking about my soul didn't undergo the same process my spirit underwent. If it did, I would have been a whole different person. Amen. Did your soul undergo the same? Did your mind, will, and emotions get instantaneously set free? But my spirit did. So your new man, then you have this soul, and you got this body. You got to do something with all that. Sometimes they cooperate, sometimes they don't. Sometimes my body will cooperate, say, come on, and a lot of times it won't. Spirit's willing, flesh is always weak. Amen? And so you got this situation now that God had to set in. The first thing he did, he sent Christ to redeem us. Oh, I was so caught up in that today. He redeemed us, gave us a new nature, one that can inherit the things of God, one that can move through the door. Listen, do you think you really, if your spirit man was still dead and had the law of sin and death working in it, you think you could move through the door? What do you think is causing you to be able to move through that door to where he is? It's your new man. He's been granted access by faith into the Father because he can inherit the Father. Once more, my new man can contain the Father's love. That's one of the great things Jesus did in salvation. He gave me a new creation and I could bring that new man before the Father, and the Father, I could be joined into the Father. When the Lord said, my glory I give to you. What do you think it was? Well, he's going to give you a glory cloud. It's going to float around with you. Well, it can manifest like that, but that's not really what he meant when he said, my glory. Anybody want to tell me what the Lord's glory is by now? You might ought to know, but anybody want to shout it out? He said, my glory. It's the oneness that he had with the Father. The angels didn't have it. Gabriel, I'm going to tell you something. This might blow your head off a little bit, maybe. But Gabriel, Michael, the archangels, do not have what you have. They are not one with they are created beings, but they have not been joined into oneness with the Lord and oneness with the Father. They're in heaven, they're glorious, they're powerful, and they battle, but they do not have what you have. You have a oneness that you can enter into the love of the Father, not still on the outside. You can enter into his love. Your nature that Christ gave you as a joint heir enables you to do that, to come into the love of the Father. And then because of this nature, that Christ gave you, it can be filled. Oh, it can contain love. That love is intense. And it can contain it, and it can contain more and more, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. I'm like, oh, more, Father, more. I want more. Every day I want my love to abound more and more, because every time he's doing that, it's starting to feed over now into the soul, and it's starting to transform. So God has a plan for your soul. What is God's plan for your soul? Love. Love is going to transform your soul. Not your definition of love and not your present love. Get over that part. His love. Amen. So it's salvation, but what was the next level? 1 John 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice, God dwelleth in him and he dwells in God. He's talking about Father there. And we have known and believe the love the Father hath to us. That's your key right there. You have to know it and believe it. Say, know and believe. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in the Father, or the God in Father. Now notice what I have this part underlined, and the Father in him. Amen. That's the next level. Not quite there yet. We're getting there fast. Now, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, who? The Father. As the Father is in love, so are we in this world. He's telling you, love is going to radically transform you to, as you dwell with the Father in love, as he is in love where he is, so are you where you are. He's going back and forth between jurisdictions. You got to read it like that. When he says, he that dwelleth in love dwells in God, he's talking about dwelling in the Father where he is, and God in him, the Father dwelling in you where you are. He's talking about jurisdictions here. One jurisdiction, you're with him, and then he's with you. What do we want? Well, we want to be with him. We want him to be with us. Because eventually that big old gap, it's going to go like this. Whoop. You're going to wake up and Father's going to be with you. You're going to go to bed and Father's with you. You're going to step into somebody's house and you ain't going to have to get the Father. He's there. You don't have to work up the anointing. He's there. He's with you. He's on you. He's on the tabernacle. You know, his glory did not depart from that tabernacle in the wilderness. It was with him all the time. It was with him. Cloud by day. Fire by night. When Moses got ready to pray, he went up into that tabernacle. He went up into that glory. He didn't go pray from the outside. He didn't go shouting at God, God, bring revival. He said, I'm sitting here with you on this tabernacle. Everybody can see it. He's going to see it again when he sits on our tabernacle in this generation. Behold, the tabernacle of the Father is with man. That's what we're after. The enemy couldn't take this out of me if he wants to. I don't prefer being beaten like the early apostles, but even if he did, he can't get it out of me. It's a jurisdictional transfer. Look at verse 18, this powerful verse here. It says, as he is sorry in this world, how is he going to make that happen? There's no fear in love. There's no rejection in love. There's no separation in love. Not your love, his love, where he is. Because perfect love, say perfect love, will cast out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Listen, that fear he's talking about right there, he's not talking about just a little inking spirit of fear you get from the movie theater. He's talking about the systems of fear that came in with the fall. The systems of fear that were embedded into your soul when you were born into this earth. The systems of fear that get passed down from generations that bring separation and rejection and betrayal and every other thing. Those systems, seen and unseen systems, perfect love will initiate itself against that kind of fear that's brought the separation of man. The kind of fear that makes you hide. You don't know why you're hiding. Hiding from God. Running from God. You know, people out there running from God, they don't know they're running. You know, you can sit in church and run from God. You can sit right up in here, but your heart's running from him every day. Those kind of systems that brought that kind of separation, love will initiate itself against and begin to casting it out. That kind of love don't come with a visitation. You got to dwell. Say dwell. He said, dwell in it. I know and believe the love you have to me, Father, and I dwell in it. And when you dwell, he'll start the casting out of the effects of the fall. He'll take his bulldozer and start bulldozing down the old trees in the soul. Generational bondage. And then he'll go into levels of capacity. You know what capacity level is? That's the stuff underneath the ground. The seeds that hadn't come up yet. But it's in the capacity of your soil. Of the old man. They're not shown up. But they can show up. And he starts bulldozing that down. Then he goes down and bulldozes the next level down. Nature. Core nature. And he does it with love. You know, he promised this in John 15. He said, a man abide in me. He goes, I am the vine, you are the branch. He that abideth in me. Notice what he said this. He said, my Father's the husbandman. I am the vine, you are the branch. Any man that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, will prune you. He's talking about abiding. He said, my Father will prune it. The Father knows how to do it. And he says, now, listen, if a branch will not bear fruit, it's broken off. And men will gather it and cast it into the fire. You know what that is? That's not hell. If you got to go bear fruit, whether you get to heaven or hell, you take the blood of Jesus out of the equation. He said, if you don't bear fruit, he says that that vine will not abide and it gets broken off. Men will gather it and cast it into fire. That's talking about there's no other way but the tribulations of the earth. That's talking about the fire that comes through testing and trials in the earth. That's talking about a branch that gets out of alignment. And gets subjected to the world and its systems. And you talk about the furnace of fire that's in the earth. Anybody ever gone through that? Furnace of fire because you made wrong decisions or you got out of alignment and stayed out of alignment. You got up into something and like, oh my God, get me out of this, please. I got to do repentance, whatever you need me to do. Just get me back where I need to be. My Father, when he does it in love. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Perfect love will initiate and cast out. And he does it thorough. He said, if a man will love me. Strong words. He said, if you love me, he will keep these words I'm talking about here. And my Father, and these words will bring you to where I am. And my Father will love you. See, this is reconciliation to the Father. There is a power in the words to reconcile you to the Father. They'll get you through the veil. I talked about this the other day. These words, one of the glorious things, I can be in the midst of warfare, and man, I'm so glad God set it up this way, because the warfare gets intense. And if I'm depending on feeling to get me to God when I'm under a mountain of warfare, man, the God set this up properly. I understand why he did it now, because the enemy will just engage you. Vicious. And I'm waiting on feeling. I can't get out of my feeling because it's too much feeling. I can't get there. And if I let the separation intimidate me, I'm going to have to wear all that all day long. And next week and the week after. I don't know if you've ever worn a trial, worn a betrayal. It don't feel good to wear betrayal. It don't feel good to wear. It's hard to wear it. Because the enemy sticks that dagger in there and he feeds it, see? How many of you ever walked around with a dagger inside you? You're just walking around with a dagger. I'm like, God, please get this thing off of me. I can't stand this thing. And then another one shows up. Here's the glorious thing. This is why you want to develop your faith. Listen to me. Because when you get your faith strong, you can sit in the middle of a war zone and say, I'm leaving. I'm getting out of this war zone. And all those daggers go with you, by the way. They go up into the Father. And see, you go and you penetrate that veil and you're carrying all this pain to him. So I've learned to carry all my pain to him. I learned to carry all my stuff. I learned to carry your stuff. I had my stuff. I'm like, now I got to carry your stuff. Not all of your stuff, but some of your stuff. It's not fun. But anyway, you got to carry it up. Say, carry it up. I'm like, but faith will carry it through the veil. It'll carry it all the way up to the Father. And as soon as it touches, the Father's honey love starts flowing. And when the honey love starts flowing, say, honey love. Oh, man, he starts pulling the daggers out. I'm like, these are fresh. These are daily daggers, God. He goes, I got enough for all of you and everybody else. He goes, come on up. And he starts embracing you. And then after about 15 minutes of that embrace, you start filled with the honey of the Father, and you've done forgot about the trial. There's no more daggers. And it's like your heart has just undergone surgery from heaven. Glorious surgery. You're coming out full and glorious, and you're singing and laughing. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be laughing right now. I'm not supposed to be singing. And I start singing the songs. I got 1,000 of them now. He gives me a new one every day. What are they? Those are my songs. Get your own song. Go get your own song. I got a lot of them. I dwell in love that's from above. I'm not alone, God. I'm not alone. Your love has become my home. He loves me, though. He loves the way I sing. And I come up out of that place and I am full of love. He imparts a living love. It's alive. Man, it's loving up in your, and it is alive inside of you, and you carry it all day long, and you're just full of love, and you're happy, and you're joyful, and it don't take much. All you can do is, I mean, I turn the TV, and Jesus of Nazareth, that old one's on, you know, and I'm like, I just weep and cry, and no, it takes just a little bit, and I'm off. I'm walking in his love, walking in his glory. I said, Father, you healed my heart of stuff that took me out for 5 years. Those daggers used to just mess me up, and I would mess everybody up. Listen, you get enough of those daggers, you'll start turning them on other people. I don't care how holy you are. You get enough of them in your heart, you don't know what to do with them. You'll start pointing them to other people around you. Now you come in the love of the Father, you're supposed to be all messed up. That stuff that used to work ain't working no more. He's done tried it 2 or 3 times since I've hit the love of the Father, and I gotta tell you, it's not working no more. He'll probably change his tactics soon, but right now the stuff he's been throwing don't work no more. I found a love that's way beyond. And we're only in phase 2 right now. I want to come off the mountain and be here. When's it all going to transfer? I mean, I have it in my heart, but it's so glorious there. I said, Father, when is you going to come? He said, that's what he told me, is you're in phase 2 of reconciliation to me. The third phase is I come and dwell with you in the restoration of all things. I restore my covering. I restore the relationship. See, reconciliation is your relationship restored to the Father where He is. Restoration is the Father's restored where you are. And when He's restored to where you are, guess what? Dominion. Because now the Father's come down, the full gauntlet or the full redemption process has happened. I've been saved. I was reconciled to my Father's love. He's loved me, and now He's come back to be with me. And behold, the tabernacle of the Father is with man. He's dwelling with me in the earth. The Father, just like He was with the Lord. I'm in phase two. If we got phase two, don't you think we're going to get phase three? He's not a man that He can lie. John 14, verse 14, He says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. That's salvation and the reconciliation to the Father. Now look at verse 23 of John 14. And Jesus answered and said to them, if any man loved me, he will keep my words, these words. And these words will have the power. He's going to say this two or three different ways. And these words will have the power to bring you to the Father, and my Father will love you. He already loves you, but you'll be reconciled to His love. And love will begin to initiate the transformation for phase three. What's phase three? And after my Father loves you, and He says, then my Father and I will come make our abode with you. That's phase three restoration of all things right there. That's when the Father reclothes you in the earth. And when they make their abode is home. God sets up shop in the earth. God sets up shop in your tabernacle. You're talking about the restoration of the Father's glory with man, the manifested sons of God in the earth. And when the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are present with you, look out, because they are going to become a wrecking machine to the realms of darkness. You're not going to have to work up nothing. They're already there. They're already present. These words, I got to tell you, they will provoke some kind of warfare, but I don't want you to endure the war anymore. We've been doing that forever. I want you to get up in the Father and overcome the warfare. Because the Father told me in no uncertain terms, if you don't overcome, I can't promote you. Because the enemy's not going to stop his tactics. He's going to keep bringing the same stuff that's been plowing you down. He's not going to stop. The only way, you're going to have to overcome it. And you can't overcome it on your own. You got to get up. You got to go up. Say, go up. 1 John 2 and 5. Says, whoso keepeth His word, what? In Him. Verily, the love of God, the love of the Father will perfect. Keeping His word and doing it is not the only way to Him, because there are people that found Him, but it's the way Jesus designed it. And it works thoroughly. And it's consistent. I'm telling you, you'll learn to consistently dwell with the Father. That's why God has you here. Listen, multitudes are going to come as soon as the Father shows up. You know why? Because he's going to initiate signs, miracles, and wonders that people haven't seen in a while. Not these kind. And when He initiates the signs, miracles, and wonders, they're going to come running. Listen, there was a lot of people around the Lord. There was multitudes. There were 120. There were 70. There was 12, 3, and 1. But one of them got the heartbeat. That one laid his head into the heart of the Lord, and he caught these words. We are that one. Amen. And now, verse 11, John 17, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. See, these are in the world. Now, he's in the middle of a prayer. All John 17 is a prayer, right? We talked about this before. So what he's going to do is take them in prayer from where they are to where he wants them to where they're going. He's going to take them to all three phases in one prayer, because it's his final prayer. So he's going to take them to salvation, reconciliation, and restoration all in one prayer. Because this prayer he left with the Father. And every one of us get in on the answer. The Father is still answering this prayer, by the way. Because Jesus prayed it to the Father before he left. Amen? So he says, these are in the world, but I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thy name. Now, verse 14, he says, now I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Do not marvel. If If you start carrying these words, though, you're going to find a love that's not of this world. You're going to find a few people not going to like you as much as they used to like you. Trust me on that one. He says, and the world had hated them because they are what? Not of this world. So first he says, you're in the world, but now he's moving them to the Father in his prayer. They're not of this world. And he's going to tell you how he's going to move them to the Father. Wake up! I want you to catch this. Verse 16, again, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. So he's bringing them out to the Father. And here's how he's going to do that. Sanctify them. That word sanctify means set apart or separate them through your truth. Hear it again. Your word is truth. He's saying, Father, separate them from the world. Sanctify them, set them apart from the world to yourself through these words. Thy word is truth. These words, sanctify them, separate themselves unto you, Father. That's what he's saying. Separate them out unto you. Two things can happen with that verse. Stay with me. I'm just going to give you some really powerful stuff here in a minute. I'm giving you powerful stuff now. Separate them from the world, and then once when you're in the Father, he separates the world from you. The words will separate you out of the world to the Father. That's reconciliation. Then through reconciliation, he'll separate the world out of you. His love will start separating the world out of you. Take off. He says it like this in one of the, he says, put off the old man. Put on the new. Put on love. These guys in the early church, they knew how to do this. Amen. So sanctify them through the truth. Are you ready for this? Oh, this verse hit me. Verse 18. Wow. As Father, you have sent me in the world, even so I send them in the world. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Father, in the same way you sent me, I will send them. How did the Father send him? He didn't just send him, he went with him. The Father was with him. He says, as you sent me, Father, and you went with me, I'm going to send them, and you go with me, Father, with them. That's what he's saying. Now, I included a couple of verses there. You can read in John 8, and he says, I'm not alone. My Father is what? With me. He said, this night the shepherd will be struck, and you'll all scatter, and you'll leave me alone, but I'm not alone. Say, I'm not alone. My Father's with me. When he's saying in that prayer, after you've been separated and sanctified to the Father, and then after the Father separates the world from you in this process of love through reconciliation, he's going to restoration now. He says, now, Father, do you got it? He goes, now send them in the same way you sent me. How did he send him? He sent him with himself. He's saying, Father, as you sent me and you went with me, I'm not alone. I'm going to send them too from this place, and you and I are going to go make our abode in them. They're not going to be alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Your love has become my home. He's coming to dwell here with us. As he sent the Lord, he's going to send us. A lot of people get up and went when they should have been sent. But you're not going to get sent till you get up in there where he is. You can get anointed, but if you want to get sent, you're going to have to get up in the love of the Father and let him dispel and cast out the fear that's dominated from the fall. He casts the systems of the world out of your soul. He casts the systems of the world out of your nature. And then the Father, now Father, Father, as you sent me, when they get ready, Father, after they've been sanctified and set apart for you, send them the same way. I will send them, and you and I will go with them. Isn't that glorious? In the same way, and as you were with me, Father, we will be with them. That operation will happen in this generation. That operation will happen in this church. The question is, which one of you want to overcome? Stop trying to overcome your weaknesses, infirmities, and issues. Stop all that. You're barking up a wrong tree. Stop with all the condemnation of your followings and failures and faults. Stop fighting people in the world because the enemy will send you plenty of them. Set your compass to the Father. Take these words and learn how to cooperate with them in faith. And get yourself up into the Father. The Lord's on your side. The Father's on your side. The Holy Ghost is on your side. Your pastors are on your side. God, if I had a pastor teaching me this when I was 20 years old, oh my God. If I had known this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, how to do this, I mean, block everything out, said what I need. I'm not going to sit there and pluck the dead fruit off my tree all my life. I'm going to just bring this tree to you, Father. I'm going to get to where you are. And when I get into the love of the Father, he's going to separate the world from me through his love. He's going to cast out the fear. He's going to perfect his love until he says, I'm ready. How long? When he knows I'm ready. Right now, he's testing it along the way. Loved me 3 months, gave me a great test. He didn't give it, but allowed it, whatever you want to do with your doctrine, but it came and I overcame. Came again, overcome again. I wouldn't even want to tell you the stuff he's doing right now. It's vitriolic. It doesn't matter because the love of the Father overcomes it. So when the Father deems you're ready and he's got all of that, then this is not talking about the anointing dropping on you. It's talking about Father God coming and manifested sons of God. When Father God shows up, the same works the Lord did, they're going to initiate through you. Because the Lord, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are going to be up in your vessel. And he's going to grant you his mantle unequivocally. We are going to have the same operation as our Lord Jesus had in the earth. Because he's going to send us in the same way. And he's going to come with us in the same way. Everyone say, I'm not alone. Right now, when I feel the loneliness, I can go to him. But there is a day he told me, you'll never feel that again in the earth. The only time the Lord Jesus was not alone was in the garden. It took him 3 times to go back in there because the weight of the cross was on him. And when he come out, he said, tonight the shepherd will be struck, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. He's going with me to this cross. The Father himself went to the scourging post with the Lord, and the Father himself went to the cross. The only time he didn't is when he had to withdraw and gave his son to pay the price for you and I. He said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? So first time the Father let go. For 3 days the Father had to let his son, for 3 days, paying the price for our sin. That kind of love was to reconcile us to the Father. That's how much he wants you to the Father. Don't believe the lies. Don't engage in the warfare around you. Understand it's there to take these words from your heart. He wants to stop your progression because he knows once you get there, he can't stop you. He can never stop me from going to the Father again. You can put me in chains and I can go to the Father. He cannot stop that. He cannot stop that. There's not enough warfare he has to keep me from going up to the Father. And I love that. And I do rejoice in that, Father. But I have a greater prayer now. Father, come and dwell. As you were with the Son, send me the same way. When we're ready, send us. But you got to go with us. You got to go with us when you send us. When the Father comes, that's the great fruit he's talking about. This is the great fruit that's going to be reaped in this generation of sons and daughters. We are carrying a word for this generation right now. Understand what God has given to this place. Understand the weightiness of this. Don't let this escape you. There are people right now that give their right arm to hear things like this, that are trapped in a system of seeking God. And they're burning out and they're hitting walls and they don't know how to get through them. I've watched this happen. Even in my own camp I came out of. They're trapped in the enemy's warfare and they don't know how to come out of it. We've been given the words to liberate. It's a precious thing that God's given us. It's a glorious thing he's given us. Matters not how many people right now, because when Father God shows up here, he will begin the orchestration of salvation and fruit and demonstration. He will set this captive free. Isn't this glorious? Father, thank you for the great, great words you've given us. Thank you for keeping our perspective. Only love could keep a perspective like this in the middle of the warfare. I'm not alone, Father, when I'm with you. And I decree and declare, we will not all be alone here. You're coming to dwell. This is your house. It's been set for this purpose. And the nations are going to know it. Keep us. Keep our compass. I'm asking you to raise a shield around this house, around intercessors, around everyone in this house, Father. Raise a shield. I know how vicious the enemy is right now. Raise a shield. Keep us wise. Set wisdom.